We're going to continue our study in 1 John today, so if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. Talking about 1 John, remember 1 John is not written systematically, like chapter 1's on this, chapter 2's on this, chapter 3's on this. John has themes that run through. William Hendricks at Southwestern Seminary wrote the January Bible study book on 1 John back in 1972, and he called it a tapestry of truth because there are threads of different things that run through the book. It only has five chapters, but there are threads of things through the book. And what we did last week and what we're doing this week is looking at the 12 things that the Bible says and we know. And the word know there is the word that means to know by experience. Because we've experienced God, because we've experienced Jesus, because we've lived the Christian life and have that experience, these are the things we know as God's children. So there are 12 things. We did 6 last week. We're going to do the other 6 this week. You know, I talked last week about scandals in Washington. You know, what they ask is, well, what do we know? How do we know it? When did we know it? And then they try to hold committee meetings. Now, you understand what Will Rogers said one time. Will Rogers said one time, Congress started meeting again this week. I was afraid they were going to do that. Yeah. These things we know. You know, there are different things that frustrate me about being a Christian. One of the things that frustrates me is people that think they don't need to know anymore, they don't need to grow anymore, they don't need to do anymore. Because if we have a pulse, God has a plan, and we're supposed to keep growing. 1 Peter 3:18 says, grow, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'll go somewhere and teach. I'll go somewhere and teach the Bible, and people say, I never heard that before. Isn't that why you come to church? Wow, you know, if you knew everything, where do you preach? What are you doing here? If you knew everything, which seminary do you teach at? Yeah, you know, the sermon that I always wanted to preach but never have, probably never will, is there is no crown in heaven for the Christian ignoramus. There is no crown in heaven for being stupid. You know, we're supposed to know, we're supposed to grow, we never stop growing. Okay, we never, you know, well, I'm satisfied where I am in the Christian life. Well, I know what all I need to know. Well, I'm doing all I need to do. No. We are supposed to move on, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. So what do we know? 1 John 3:18, we know that we're living the Christian life and it is a way of life. It's just not, oh, I know about that in my head. It's living it out in our lives. 1 John 3:18, and that's on page, what page is this? 1242 in this Bible, okay, if that helps. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. How do we know? Because we're living it. That's why 6 times in the book of Acts, Christianity, and before it was called Christianity, Christianity was called the way. It was the way of life, the way of living. Alan Redpath, one of the great pastors of Moody Church, said, why is it that we believe so much and experience so little? Why is it our heads are so full and our hearts are so empty? Because we're not applying what the Bible says. You know, someone called up Dr. Gray at First Baptist Church, New Orleans, and they said, Dr. Gray, I don't understand the book of Revelation. And he said, get back in Matthew. It's not what I don't understand that bothers me. It's what I do understand and that I do that bothers me. Knowledge of living our faith. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me find Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, 17 through 19. But with whom was he grieved 40 years in the wilderness? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Now, to say you believe and not to act like you believe is called practical atheism. And we have a lot of people on Baptist church rolls that don't come that are practical atheists. They say one thing, but they don't do it. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There was an African tribesman that had memorized a lot of the Bible, and a missionary asked him, said, how do you memorize Bible verses? And he says, I pick a verse and try to learn it, and I try to see how many times that day I can practice what the verse says. Wow. I try to see how many times I can practice what it said in that day. That's how I memorize the Bible. Look at 1 John 3:24. What's the second thing we know? And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. The knowledge that Jesus lives in us, the knowledge of the indwelling, the in-living of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. The greatest advantage that Christians have is Colossians 1:17. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God lives inside us. Holy Spirit regenerates us. The Holy Spirit draws us. The Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit prompts us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit witnesses through us. Through the Holy Spirit we worship, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and then that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not some mindless ritual we do over and over and over, but consciously in the Spirit of God we worship God. Philippians 3:13, but we are of the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We worship in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit fills us. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. He leads us. You know, when we don't go where he leads us, we can grieve him. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. The command in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 is quench not the Spirit. That would be interesting. They're little short, little bitty commands at the end of 1 Thessalonians. And you could actually do a Bible study on each one of those. Quench not the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. Test all things. Stand up for what's good. We may talk about that a little later this morning. The Venerable Bede, and he was probably in his day the most educated man in Europe. He was a monk that wrote the first Christian history of England. He said, therefore, let God be a home to thee, and thou be a home of God. Abide in God, and let God abide in thee. You know, and that's the same thing that Jesus said in John 15 about abiding, the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you're the branches. But let's look at Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16 says, He would grant you. Paul is praying for the church. How does Paul pray? If you want to know how to pray, pray Paul's prayers. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. One of the great writers of the Spirit-filled life was Major W. Ian Thomas. Major Thomas was a World War II war hero. In fact, he was a person, he's the guy that accepted the surrender from the Germans in May of 1945. When Major Thomas came back to America, he took all of his back pay from the Army and bought Capron Ray Castle in York, England. And he founded the Capron Ray Fellowship of Torchbearers that I had a chance to hear teach many times when I was young. He wrote many books on the Spirit-filled life, Major Thomas. He said, if you have eternal life at all, it means that you have somebody in your life. You have the Son, just as Jesus Christ affirmed, I am the way. He said, if you are born again, eternal life is that quality of life that you possess right now, at this very moment, indwelling your physical body, with your own 2 feet on the ground and in this world today. Jesus is living inside us. He said the true content of our gospel is not just heaven one day, but Jesus living inside us here and now. We have a knowledge of the indwelling of Christ. Number three, look at chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. The knowledge of discernment. Verse 1, believe not. That's an imperative in the Greek. It really means stop believing. Stop believing. Paul Van Gorder wrote a book. He was one of the teachers on the radio Bible class many years ago. Tremendous teacher of the Bible. He wrote a book called, How Do You Spot the Devil's Kids? How do you spot the devil's kids? You know, how do you tell when a politician's lying? He's moving his lips. Yes. Okay, thank you. How to spot the devil's kids. Before you swallow everything labeled Christian, you test it. You test it. Acts 17:11. Paul went to Berea, and the Bible says these were more noble than the Thessalonians because everything they heard, they tested, they searched the scriptures to see if they were so. We have a truth in lending law where they have to disclose everything to you, the points, the interest rate. They have to disclose everything, be honest up front before you can sign the loan papers, supposedly. We need to have discernment. What's true and what's false? Let me give you some lines that cults have given to me, because they sound good, okay? Listen to this one. Give us money. We're helping get kids off drugs and back to God. Who said that? The Hare Krishnas. You know, Hare, Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. And if you're interested, I'll teach you the second verse of their chant, all right? Hare Krishnas. They have two big ashrams outside Gainesville. They're on the University of Florida campus every Friday trying to recruit people to be Hare Krishnas. Yeah, doesn't that sound good? We're helping get kids off drugs and back to God. Now, they believe in reincarnation, so there's an old Hare Krishna joke. What do you say to the Hare Krishna that asks you for a donation? No thanks. I gave in another life. Okay? Here's another one. We're trying to reach people and send out missionaries. Doesn't that sound good? You know who said that to me? A Mooney. Reverend Moon's people, the Holy Spirit Association for the, Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of Christianity, called the Unification Church. When did they say that to me? When I went to the Mooney headquarters in Orlando, when I was studying the Moonies. Oh, yeah, we want to reach people and send out missionaries. What are they going to missionary about? Oh, Reverend Moon is Jesus come a third time. Because Judas messed it up the first time. It wasn't God's plan for Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus was the perfect man. He's supposed to marry the perfect woman and have perfect kids. That was the second coming of Jesus, and Judas messed it up. So now Reverend Moon's got to come. Oh, We encourage Bible study in new translations. Who said that? The Way International. Wow. We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who says that? Mormons. Except what do they believe about God and Jesus? They have bodies of flesh and bone. They were once men who worked their way to godhood. And Mormon men can become gods in the next life in another world and populate other planets like God and his many wives populated planet Earth. Wow. It's called the law of eternal progression. The Mormon church. Yeah. Holy Spirit doesn't get a body. Now, the second missionary, I have the six missionary lessons of the Mormon church, so when the missionaries come to our house, I know what they're going to say. I cheat. And bought them at the Mormon bookstore in Salt Lake City, Utah. And the second visit, they tell you that God has a body, and he came down and had relations with Mary, and that's how Jesus was born. And I ask them about that. Oh, it's in the Bible. Now, they accept the King James Bible and have one. So I turned in their King James Bible and read where Mary was overpowered by the Holy Spirit. And one Mormon missionary looked at the other one and said, well, I thought everybody believed that. No. Ooh, the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong. Remember Plain Truth magazine? Herbert was on Sunday mornings. Very conservative guy, okay? We believe in being born again. Boy, does that sound good. Except that you're only born again when you're in the resurrection. When the resurrection takes place, we will be born again. So technically right now, Jesus is the only person that's been born again because he's the only person that's been resurrected. Boy, they can really sound good. How do you spot the devil's kids? You use discernment. Search the scriptures to see if these things are so. Why do we need our vegetables labeled that they come from foreign countries? Because 1/3 of all the vegetables from Mexico have dangerous and harmful pesticides on them that we don't need to be eating, okay? Why do you eat wild American shrimp? When I think of wild shrimp, I think of shrimp going wild and having parties and stuff, okay? Wild shrimp, okay? It's like when someone says, can I bring you a fresh cup of coffee? And I tell them, if it's too fresh, I'll have to slap it. Sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't, all right? But anyway, why do we want to eat wild American shrimp? Because the shrimp from China are raised in septic tanks. Did you know that? They're raised in septic tanks, okay? So 1/3 of the fruit and vegetables from Mexico contain dangerous or outlawed pesticides. Try the spirits. Dokimazo is the word for try. Put the spirits to the test. Put what people are saying to the test. What are we supposed to test? First of all, we're supposed to test the spirit of the teacher, the spirit of the person. What does Let me find Romans here. Romans is in here somewhere. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yeah. Do you have the witness of the Spirit with someone? There are people that you meet them and they haven't said anything, but you sense God inside them. The Holy Spirit in you senses the Holy Spirit in them. That's the witness of the Spirit. We're supposed to test the spirit of the world system. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Does the world have a spirit? Oh, yeah. Liberalism has a spirit. There's a spirit of abortion. Let's kill babies. How come it's wrong to shoot up a school and kill innocent high school kids, but it's okay to kill innocent babies? How come it's wrong to execute criminals who have murdered multiple people, give them the death penalty, but it's okay to give the death penalty to unborn babies? I don't understand, all right? You know, my Uncle Gene used to say, and he was an atheist, he said, you don't understand, there's nothing to understand. You don't understand, there's nothing to understand. They're not trying to make sense, okay? The spirit of the world, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we test the human spirit, we test the spirit of the world, we test the spirit of the devil. You know, Ephesians 2, verse 2, he's called the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. He is the unholy spirit. So we test the spirits to see if it's true. How are you qualified to test? Well, Hebrews 5:14 says, they that are of full age, let's see. You know, I used to know that verse, and now I'm having sometimers, okay? Some of you have sometimers. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Knowing the Bible, exercising your discernment by studying what's true, you'll be able to recognize what's false. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We're supposed to have courage. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things, stand up for the things that are true. That requires courage. Not only do we stand against the bad things, we're supposed to stand up for the right things. Test all things. Hold to that which is true. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And we're supposed to avoid false doctrine. Wow, Galatians, Paul just really gets tense here. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Whether it is another, but there be some that trouble you, which pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, anathema, accursed, to be dismissed to outer darkness. Verse 9, as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you've received, let him be accursed. Wow. To test, we must know the truth. Just like a fake and a real $100 bill, $20 bill. I was at the bank the other day and I handed them a 20. And I said, that's good, I made it this morning. You know, bankers, some of them have a sense of humor, some of them don't. And they said, I can tell it's real. The paper it's on, okay? It's kind of like when I go to Publix. I told you this. When I go to Publix and go to checkout, they said, do you want paper or plastic? I always say, it doesn't matter. I'm bisexual. Bisexual. If you put it in linen sex, I'll be trisexual. Now, at Publix, they get it. At Winn-Dixie, they look at me funny and start backing away. All right? So, bisexual. That's me. Yeah, you know, that's why... That's why my daughter doesn't let me spend a lot of time with my grandkids, because I corrupt them. You know, there are cute little songs for your grandchildren like, God bless my underwear because they're no fun to wear. my daughter starts cringing when I start teaching the grandkids stuff like that, okay? Yeah. Okay, now, First John, chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. This is the knowledge of prayer and the knowledge that God hears our prayers. Now, Dick Eastman, who wrote a book called The Hour That Changes the World, Dick used to say, he used to teach a Change the World prayer conference. And in that, he said, you know, God answers my prayers three ways. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says, you got to be kidding me. Okay? But James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. We put it before God. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. George Mueller said, Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of God's willingness. Someone said one time, you can pray for rain, but you put faith to your prayers by carrying an umbrella. How many pray for rain and don't carry an umbrella? A Civil War soldier named Anonymous. You know, a lot of poems were written by that guy, Anonymous, okay? I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Aren't we glad that God is wiser in answering our prayers than we are in asking him in prayers? Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said, if God answered every prayer I prayed, I would have married 13 men before I met Billy. Yeah, okay. Look at chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18, we know knowledge of victory. 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. What basically do we know? We know we win. We know the battle's already been fought, and Jesus won it on Calvary. We are destined for the throne. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him, Paul says. God has never lost a game, and God has never tied a game. God always wins, okay? And we are in a fight, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Yeah. Now, there are spiritual rulers of the darkness of this world, and there are people who are rulers of darkness in this world. And our job is to push back the darkness. What are the steps to victory? Well, Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War, the great Chinese general, Sun Tzu had a lot of wise things to say about war. He said, if you got three people and think one of them's a spy, kill all three of them and you'll get the spy. That's one way to do it, guys, and be sure, okay? Sun Tzu said, know your enemy. Know your enemy. I have people that get mad at me because I teach world religions. You know, of course, some people say, well, don't you tell them they're going to hell without Jesus? No, because I'm being paid to academically present all these different world religions. But after class Friday, I had four Christian students stay for 20 minutes and ask me questions about the Bible, okay? I get my chances, okay? Well, why do we have to study other people? All we need to do is know Jesus. Well, because if you don't know your enemy, you can't counter your enemy. If you don't know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, how are you going to answer what they believe with God's word? If you don't know what Mormons believe, how are you going to answer them? If you don't know what a Buddhist believes, how are you going to answer it? You study the enemy to find points of contact and points where we can share the gospel and let God change their hearts. What's the steps to victory? We stand up, we speak up, and we don't give up. And we need to remember that in every sphere of our life in America. We stand up, we speak up, and we don't give up. Well, I'm old. Well, I'm tired. Listen, I was born tired, and I've been losing ground ever since, all right? Yeah, tell me about being tired. I think I have the tired gene, okay? But we keep on going because we're still here. And if we're still here, God wants us to keep on. A yielded Christian can be tempted, but a yielded Christian can never be conquered. And look at chapter 5, verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding. What do we know? We know Jesus has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, what does that do? That brings us right back around. The last verse brings us right back around to the first verse of the whole book. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. Chapter 5, verse 20 says, we know that it's true. We know that it's true. Three times it says, we know it's true. That's the word verifiable. Remember, Jesus proved to be alive by many infallible works. It's the root word. True is the word truth. And Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I think one of the greatest Christian philosophers alive today is Richard Swinburne. He is the professor of Christian philosophy at Oxford, and thank God he's born again. Dr. Swinburne has called it the principle of credulity. We should believe someone unless we have a reason not to believe. People say, oh, we can't count your experience. Listen, I know God's alive. I talked to him this morning. Oh, no, we can't count that. That's just you. Well, I'm real, and the relationship is real, and God shows himself to be real. And in the principle of credulity, Swinburne says, we believe what someone says of their experience unless we have a solid reason not to believe. That just makes sense. Of course, we don't try to make sense with philosophers. Wow. All right, what do we know? Last week and this week. We know we have knowledge of assurance, knowledge of evil, knowledge of truth, knowledge of the resurrection, knowledge of the atonement, knowledge of our transformation as we grow as Christians. What did we learn today? Knowledge of living, knowledge of indwelling of the Holy Spirit, knowledge of discernment, knowledge of prayer, knowledge of victory, and the knowledge of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Decision Magazine said one time, education has filled the minds of people with facts, information, and theory, but it has neglected to tell them how they are supposed to live. We know a lot of facts about life, but people are not being taught how to live that life. We live that life by relationship with Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by him. A communist speaker one time, before communism was against the law in America, the Communist Party was big in our country, and one communist speaker was promising people, oh, I'll give everybody, when communism takes over America, everybody have a new suit. Of course, wasn't it Roosevelt that promised a chicken in every pot? Yeah, okay. Christianity doesn't promise a new suit on a man. It promises a new man in the suit. You must be born again, John 3:3. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We don't need to reform people. We need them born again, because that's the only way you really change your life. Why is it that 2/3 of all prisoners we turn loose from our state prisons commit a crime and go back? Recidivism is the official word for that in the criminal justice studies. Because we need a change in our life to make a change in our life. And Jesus is the one that makes the change. If you've never done that, we invite you to do that today. Receive Jesus as your Savior. We're going to sing hymn number 300.